among the five daughters we have, now we have a son. And I thank God that the day he was dedicated to the Lord, you can't believe how many people came to be part of it. We had about 350 people. 35 pastors came to lay hands upon Jonathan. And I was thrilled to see how people were actually touched about the decision we made. And we believe that God has a very good plan for Jonathan and prefer us to grow up him as a man of God. And we believe that much is waiting for him to accomplish in this world. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I want to thank you for another opportunity you have given me to be back here. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and my sisters and the great work you are doing in their lives and between us. We thank you for such an opportunity you have given us to share in what you're doing in your kingdom. Thank you, Father, because we are no longer strangers and heathens, but we are children of thy family and fellow heirs with Jesus Christ in thy kingdom. Lord, when we think about that, we just bow down and worship. But we thank you even today for this day you have made us to come together in this place which you ordained for us to come and worship and study the principles of the kingdom so that we may go outside and minister to the world. Lord, bless us and bless this word in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I read the scriptures, I just want to say thank you so much for sending the group previously came to Uganda. We are so much blessed to have or to host that team of wonderful women and men of God that came and made a very big impact to our people, to our country, to our the body of Christ in Uganda. Thank you so much, Pastor, for leading that team. And I heard that even you went to Israel after that. I envy you. But anyway, we are so much blessed when the team came to Uganda. Brother Cooper, we have so many pictures and Obo and many others who came. We were so much blessed. You never know what you did, but for us who was there, it was a big impact, and the church was taken to another level. We went to places, and we had a good seminar, a married couples seminar, and pastors, and that was really so great. And Pastor, when he said that he's no longer coming, that was the last time, that turned my heart. But one thing I know, in our language, we have a say that where there is a male lion, there'll come another one again. If that one lion is gone, another lion will come again in the same position. So we have a say in our language there. I believe that our relationship with this church will never come to an end, because God who brought us together, he has a deeper purpose and a reason, which I believe that it's not yet over. It's not so easy now to get the visa to America. There are so many people who are denied a visa for some reasons, and for some reasons. But I said, Lord, if we are punished because of the stand we made for something bad, we don't mind. Someone will never close this door without God opening up another door, and is able to accomplish the work he started in us. And I said, if we don't go there, they will come this way. Because the door is widely open, and you are very much welcome to come again and visit us anytime you want, anytime you feel that God is leading you to come, come again, and we shall use you, and you always come back empty, and God will refill you again. But anyway, Pastor, I wanted you to know that we are so much blessed. Sarah conveyed her thanks, and all the board of directors of Blessed Hope Champions Home and Academy. And I just want to share something that just happened recently, and that blew my mind. It was between me and Pastor Jim. This is one night, some few weeks ago. I got a dream. And in this dream, Pastor Jim was asking me what is going on in Uganda. What's going on in the ministry? And when I came out of the dream, I told Sarah, Sarah, you know Sarah always sleep just close here. He is my first person to share and to talk to after talking to God. So I said, Sarah, I got this dream, and Pastor Jim was asking this and that. And she said, well, you never know, he might change his mind coming back. And maybe there is something God is going to do. Let us pray for him and pray for all the brothers there. 2 days after that, I got an email from Pastor Jim. And he says, what is going on in Uganda? Tell me what is... What is in the ministry? Is there any need? What? Then when I talked to Sarah about that, really raised up both of our hands and we thanked God who works, among his people. He uses us the way he wants for the purposes of the kingdom. And I'm very much thankful for the donation we received recently for completing the other good restroom for the champions, which was a big, big need. Because though we had a Western-style restroom, but to some kids and us, because we have a big campus, for some of them to walk from this side to go where the other one is was really a big thing. It was not good. And we are actually the district... government leaders were like, you have to have this. But anyway, the way God intervened and we got enough money through him, that which was a miracle. And God confirmed to us that it's not by man, but it's God using people. So I really thank God for that. Just recently, I was sent... to Botswana. Botswana is a country close to South Africa, and it's one of the smallest country in population in Africa, because there are only 2 million people in the whole country. But this country is going through a difficult time of AIDS epidemic. I think it's about, if I can remember, they said it's 35% people affected of AIDS in that country, in that small population. They wanted to know how Uganda eliminated the number of people who were dying, because they knew that through by the gospel and the power of the gospel, we eliminated the number of people who were dying from 25% to 6%. So they wanted us, and I went, and I was very surprised to meet so many people, including the government officials and military personnel and judges and ministers of education was there, and bishops and church leaders, and there were more than 200 leaders, top leaders, and they wanted, before they open up for them, men and their churches to get what we can take to them. They first wanted to hear and to know whether it's right for their country or not. But I thank God that I recognize that they realize that this is exactly what they need. They need the gospel. They need the teaching towards men and married couples and the youth. In our country, we decided some many years ago to come out openly and teach the young men. We have a movement called Grovimo, that is the Glory of Virginity movement. And we used to hold so many seminars around the country with thousands of young men, spend a week or two with them in some of the boarding schools and teach them abstinence and many other good teachings. And we have reached men, and we have really spoken to the married couples and prisons and hospitals and many other places. And that helped us actually to get people know that God is the only answer and the solution to the problems of our country. So after speaking to them like 2 days, because we had 3 days seminar, I realized that these people were not only from Botswana. We had people from Namibia, from South Africa, from Ethiopia, from Lusaka, and from Zimbabwe. The leaders were there, and they are now inviting us to go to their countries and hold seminars of that kind. So we need much of your prayers, because much has been spoken about the church in Uganda and prophecies, and people they prophesy the Lord that God is going to use Uganda to reach many African countries with the gospel. And I can see now it has started to open up. I don't know how far we are going to do that. I don't know how. But I know one thing, that when God opens up the door, He's going to provide whatever needed for the cause of the work. So we need much of your prayers there. And in Uganda, we have a fellowship of, we call it National Fellowship of Born Again Churches, where it is consisted with 45,000 churches. And I'm one of the 24 elders to that fellowship. We go all around the country and meet pastors and in our consecration services and seminars and conferences. It is big work, and I'm very happy to see what God is doing in my country in this time. And we need much of your prayers there, so that it may not go down, but keep up. And we don't want our country to go back in the pit of the problems and the difficult days that we went through some years back. We are electing our leaders, and next year, this coming year, we are going to also to elect our president. So pray for us, so that we may make good choices, and God bring somebody He wants in the leadership, presidential leadership. Today, when Pastor Jim asked me whether I can speak, yes, I had a message which actually I talked about it some many years ago, and I wonder how it came back strongly in my spirit. And this morning, when we were driving to Dallas Church, we started talking and talking and talking. And he mentioned something, and I said, "Pastor, you are taking all my message. This is my message." He's already in my heart. Well, the Bible says that out of two witnesses, let every word be established. And I believe that this is exactly what God wanted me to share or to speak to you today. If you have your Bible, let us open in Psalms chapter 24. 24, beginning from verse 1. And also 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning from verse 6, if you are writing down. And I want to talk about stewardship. We are reading. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. We have already prayed, and that is the portion of the scripture I've read from Psalms chapter 24, verse 1 and 2. I came to recognize that when we came into this world, God foreplanned everything. Nothing comes to the Lord by accident. Everything was put in place. Everything we need to be in this world, to serve Him, everything of this life, God planned it. God knew where I was going to be born, knew my parents, and he prepared everything for me, including the body. I remember where the Bible talks about Jesus, that he prepared a body for me. So before I go deep in this scripture I've read, I realized that to live a good life is never to complain for what God did, and you can't change it. If there is anything that God did and you can't change it, it is always good to be proud of it and to be proud of God. And finally, God is going to reveal the mystery behind it. And he's going to show you why he did it like that. And once you see it, you are going to be appreciative, because God never makes a mistake. He does everything well. Give you an example. I'm black. I can't complain why I'm black. It is from God. It's not from my parents, it's not from anybody else, it is from God. And the God is God of colors. You are white. Is it white or brown? You are white. Many of you are white. There is no way you can deny the fact that God intended it that way. You can't deny your birth status, your parents. God prepared the parents for you. You can't say, I can't deny my mom and my mom, my dad. There's no way. It was from God. God planned where I was born, where I was going to be born. And God planned for me to be a tall guy. I can't change that. I can change the weight. But as far as the height is concerned, I don't know. There's no way I can change it. I told the brothers in Dallas Church that in Uganda we have, I think we have the shortest people, the shortest tribe in the whole world. We call them pygmies. They are very, very short. They live on the top of the branches of the high mountain called Rwenzori near Congo border. And they are very short. When you see them, you can think they are kids. But they can't change that. And what I realize, they are very proud of it. When you visit their churches on top of those hills, you can be surprised how they are happy. I mean, how they praise God, those who are saved, how they dance, and you can't, because they are proud of it. They love it. And one time they wanted to stay alone. No one wanted to touch them because it's only this government that helped them to reconcile, but they used to roll them. If you want to fight them, they had a way of rolling down the stones. And very many regimes just left them alone. But they have something significant. They grow some of their food on top of those hills, and they have to bring them down in the markets for sale. But they put them on their shoulders and come down. And they buy other things they want to take them back, to take that back. They can hold, one man can take about 50 to 100 kilograms on his back and just go on a high speed non-stop until he gets up on the top of the mountain. Even if you don't have anything in your hand, you can't go after him. If there is something you will never change, be proud of it. Never complain for it. Because God has a purpose and a reason why he did it. Back to the scripture we have just read. The earth is for the Lord and everything thereof. And he made it, and he completed it, and he did everything there. For us to be in this world, God wants us to know the fact that we are here as stewards of his creations, of everything he made here. Our bodies, we are stewards of the body. The Bible says that our bodies are temples of God where he dwells by his spirit. So we are given this temporary house, and we are just a steward of the temple, of this temple. Our families, for example, my wife, she's a daughter of God. If I forget the fact that my wife is someone's daughter, then I forget something important. I have to find out from the scriptures how he wants me to handle his daughter in order to be a good steward of God. Our children, the Bible says that our children, they are gifts from the Lord and they are heritage of God. His children. We are stewards. Somewhere in Malachi, chapter 2, probably verse 15 onwards, you read where the Bible says the purpose of marriage, of husband and wife, that God was looking for the offsprings that we fear him, that we serve him. The purpose of husband and wife get into marriage because he was looking for the offspring that will come out of them, that we fear God. We are stewards of that. We are stewards of the ministry that God always entrusts in our lives, in our hands. the anointing, the callings. We are stewards, but it's the Lord's anointing. It's the Lord's gift. In fact, if you go deeper to understand this, the gifts that God has put in our lives under the anointings is not for us. It's for the people of God. And I remember where Paul said that I'm a data. People inside and out to the people inside the church and outside the church, because I have what they want. God has put something, he has put the anointing, he has put the gift on me, and it's their gift for their benefit, for their good. I have had so many ministers of the gospel and preacher, especially the evangelists. They used to say, "This is my anointing." I remember I told Pastor Jim, I remember like 30 years ago, that was my first time to pray for the blind man and received his sight. Somewhere in Kamwenge, it's about 200 miles away from where we live. And while we are coming back from that gospel campaign, some of the young men, they came to me and they said, "Joel, you don't need the pastors to pray for you any longer. You are the one to pray for them because you have the anointing." Oh, I felt like, oh yeah, I think so. Until finally, my mentor, when I told him what happened, he said, "Now, Joel, don't think that that has anything to do in the ministry. God just intended to heal that man. But that doesn't mean that you are mature enough. You still need the pastors. You still need those elders. You need their counsel. You need to be under them. You need to humble yourself." And that was God to me. Because I was exalted. I mean, my spirit was like, I needed someone who could bring me down to the level where I could serve God properly. All the provisions we have in this world, the provisions, including money, businesses, positions, we are stewards of God. God is the one who put us in different positions of leadership. God is the one who blesses us with money, skills, talents. In fact, someone one time he was preaching and he said that your talent and anointing and skill can take you so far away where your character will never sustain you. And I learned a lesson from that day. But whatever we have, we are just stewards of God. There is no way we could be proud of ourselves than I say, "Me, I, and myself has done this." We are always ought to say, "Let God receive the glory, because he's doing it all." The matter of fact, for us who are children of God, this takes us back to the cross. And we know that it's on the cross that Jesus did it all. He did it all. Nothing we did, but he did it all. And we have to be proud of him, not be proud of ourselves. Now, this is my point. If we are stewards and God is the owner, what do we have to do to be effective in what we are doing in our time? First of all, we have to build a stronger relationship with the owner. If you want things to go well with you, you have to build a stronger relationship with the owner. and always inquire from him what, how, where, and when. I learned a lesson. Let me pause a little bit here and tell you something. I learned a lesson. I'm no longer asking God why, but I always ask God what. I don't ask God why all these problems. Have the alternative for me to get to succeed or to get the other side of the mountain. Let me tell you something that I learned. When we go to God in prayer and ask what, sometimes God can tell you to speak to the mountain to go away. And I've done that so many times. There are times when God says, go on top of it, and you have to climb it. Sometimes God can tell you to go around it. Just leave it alone, and you go around it. That's why the Bible says that God's ways are not our ways. Not God's way, but God's ways. His methods can change, but the message remains the same, and God never changes. So, in every situation, he has an alternative. That is the teaching I got from Pastor Jim one time when he came to Uganda. And you didn't know that I was going through a difficult situation, and I needed to hear from God. And I was trying to fix things my way, and I was trying to put much effort to make sure that I succeed in this area. But that was a very big release, that God always have alternative for us to succeed or to reach the other side of the mountain. But in order to build a strong relationship with the owner, with God, we have to know for sure that a steward must be counted faithful. Faithfulness is the foundation of relationship. Faithfulness is the base or the foundation of relationship. God is looking for faithful people. And that is one of the characters of God. God himself is faithful. And we thank him for his faithfulness. And so many songs have been composed about his faithfulness. God is faithful. When we play our small part, God is always going to play his part. Sometimes God is just requiring us to do something small. And with that small step, he's going to do the rest, the big, and expand it and surprise you. so long as you are faithful doing your part. I remember there are so many scriptures which emphasizes that. The Bible talks about the people who are given the talent, you call them talents. One was given five, another one was given three, another one was given one. And when the owner came back to see what happened, he didn't mind about how many someone got. But he was looking for how faithful someone was, utilized it. I remember one person, the Bible says that he got one and he just kept it and hid it and buried it. And when the owner came, he just said, "Such unfaithful servant." He was unfaithful. And he said, "Why didn't you even give it to somebody else who could multiply it?" Faithfulness is the basis of a relationship. And God, he has everything in his hands. And he's just looking for a faithful man that he stand his ground and say that it's not me, but my God. And what is impossible to me is very possible to my God. And after God doing it, I will not take the glory, but God himself, he deserves the glory. I remember Jesus warned his disciples one time when they came back, and they said, demons responded. We casted out all the spirits, and all demons responded to our word and our command. And Jesus said, "Okay, that's good. But there's something much more than that. Rejoice because your name is written in the book of life. Don't just rejoice because the spirits are responding to what you say. You're a child of God. You're a steward of God. You're a servant of God. Let God deserve the glory and take the glory in everything we do. In fact, these days I have a form of prayer I always make to God. I say, "Lord, help me the rest of my life to be productive in thy kingdom. Help me to seize the godly opportunity which comes in my way every day. Help me, Lord, to do it your way. Help me, Lord." We are servants of God. Not only the people standing behind the pulpit, but every child of God is a servant of God, is a steward of God. In fact, when we come to church like here, this is just a meeting place where we learn the principles of the kingdom and go out and serve God and go out and be stewards of God. Stewards of the anointing, stewards of our jobs, stewards of our money, stewards of our children. Learn the principles of the kingdom of how the stewards must live in this world. That is all. I mean, and to me, I don't believe that the kingdom of God is just this church. No, not this building. This building, we just come here to learn the principles of how to be a steward, of how to be servants of God, of how we have to walk the walk of God in our time. But we are owning anything. God has just given us the opportunity to participate in what he's doing in our time. God is doing his work everywhere. When we talk about Saul coming in the kingdom of God every day, you can't believe, even in those countries where the gospel is prohibited. People are getting saved every single day. In this men's conference we have just done in Irving, we had people from 120 nations. We are about 400 people, men together. But I was so thrilled to hear what God is doing around the globe. Even people who are coming from Islamic countries, those communism countries, God is doing his own work. And I came to a conclusion saying that man will never stop God to fulfill his will. He's going to cause his work to triumph anywhere in the whole world. We are stewards of God. Let me just give you a testimony. I was a failure. I count myself a failure. And I believe that God intended it to bring me to this point, to know for sure that without him I can do nothing. I was failure in my daily life, in my religion. I told you the last time I was here that I was going to kill the preacher who was trying to witness Christ to me, because I thought that anyone who wants to go to heaven must die a Catholic. Anybody who is not a Catholic has nothing to do with God and he will never go to heaven. And I was convinced by my father. He died when I was 8 years of age, but he died when he had convinced me that the only person going to heaven must die a Catholic. So here is the guy trying to tell me about the message of the cross, of how Jesus died, and I had to turn my heart to God, to him, and save my soul. I said, you are going to die. Moreover, you're not a Catholic. When I kill you, it's not a big deal. Anyway, I can't go deep in that. You can even hate me. It was only God who helped both of us, the killer and the one who was going to be killed. Because it was only that this guy was praying for me. When I went to his house to find out the good time and the method I could use to finish him, this guy, I was very surprised to hear him praying for me, and he never knew that I was outside sneaking through the window trying to see what I can do too, because he's confronting the only religion takes people to heaven. I was jealous of my religion. But anyway, his prayers saved him and also saved me, murderer. I realized later that I was far away from God. I got married to my wife, but the purpose of marriage was not to stay together forever, was not. I just wanted to get a baby, one baby from Sarah. And after that, get rid of her. Because I thought she was so expensive for me. To sustain. It is only God who intervened. And now we have been together for the last 35 years. That's a miracle. I was not expecting that. I was not expecting to be a father. Because I grew up with my mother, I didn't want to be responsible. I didn't want to take that responsibility of being a father. And I was planning that if Sarah gets a baby, I will send the baby to my mom. My mom will take care of the baby. Come my way. I was a failure even after getting saved. I was appointed a pastor for 3 years. I gave up. Because I was trying to do things my way. And when they didn't work out the way he wanted, he said, I think I'm not a pastor. I gave up and let the elders take the church back in the hands of the elders. And I went another wrong way. Because I said, now my ministry is going to be supporting pastors. Let me go make money, and my ministry will be always sponsoring and supporting pastors, because I had known how difficult it was to be a full-time pastor in Uganda. I was a failure even in that way, because when I went back to my workshop, I specialized in making sofa sets and furniture, roofing of the houses. But no one came to give us business for almost a month and a half. Nobody came to give us even a small business. Though somebody who said, I'm going to make money and support pastors, and no money even to feed my family, no customer, no any income, until I came to an end of my idea. And I said, Lord, I came up with an idea to the people who were working for me, and I said, you guys, instead of going for lunch, let us close the doors of this workshop and pray so that God may bring us customers. And we need money. Money, money, money. I'm going around in my country and warning people about money, because I learned a lesson. The first lady who came to me, and I thought she was going to give us business, she just wanted to join us in prayers, and I didn't like that. I told her, no, ma'am, we are praying for our business here. Give us room. She came back the next day, and she said, you guys, if you pray for me, your God might heal my heart. I can't sleep well for many, many years. When I heard that, I was so much touched. And I said, Lord, you have to do something about this situation. And I shared some few scriptures of deliverance, made a very simple prayer, and I said, ma'am, give us room. The next day she came back happy. Said, I've never slept like this for many, many years. I want to know more about your God. Then the problem came again. God is putting me back in the ministry, his way. Not this time, not my way, but his way. That's how the church started, and we have now 28 church branches out of that. Church started from nowhere. I was a failure in all areas of my life until God started everything his way. Therefore, there is no any way I can take any credit in everything that God is doing in the ministry. And I stopped getting worried of God's work. Give you an example. One time we had 2 bags of corn flour in the store to feed the kids. And that was not good. That was really, it's like driving a car and the gas meter goes to E. Means to empty. And even the red light comes. So that was the situation. And I told my wife that I'm going to go into debt. And she said, you know what? Let us give God time and see. We still have 2 bags. Let us see what God can do. Anyway, long story short, God intervened and did things his way. Since from that time, I took off my hands and I said, Lord, I promise you I will never be worried. Doesn't mean that burdens doesn't come on my heart. Sometimes we get sleepless nights and you feel it. You feel the heaviness. You feel you are facing difficult situations. But I learned how to cast all my burdens to him and stop getting worried, because it is his work. Ever since I came to that point, God changed everything for better. Now I have my family. I'm born again. The one who tried to kill the preacher, now I'm a preacher. Who was running away from being a pastor. I'm a pastor overseeing 28 churches. On top of that, 450 churches in the fellowship there on our shoulders. 24 elders. Talk about the Blessed Hope Champions Home and Academy. Yeah, we had 20 kids. And then the number went up to 100, and I said, Lord, no more kids. I will never take any more kid. I will never. And this one lady came, and she said, God told me to bring this daughter to you. She's your daughter. The husband had died like 3 years ago. And I said, and if she was not a believer. And I said, what? Yeah, God told me. I said, God? Yeah, God told me to bring this kid. I said, well, okay, we can let your kid join the classes, but not be listed among the orphans until God speaks to me. You understand, ma'am? He said, oh, yeah, it's okay. She went back home after 4 days. She died. That was 101 kid now. Jeff, I tell you the stories of what happened next. Similar situations like that. Until now, we have 458 kids we are taking care of. And they have never gone without food. They have clothes. They have shoes. Medication, part of it. Shelter. And I'm here to thank you people. Because you look like a small church in number, but big heart. When God brought me here, many of my fellow pastors came along with us. They never wanted to come back here. Because this is a small church. But God spoke to me to stay here and listen to this man of God. And I tell you what, whatever we needed, God brought it to us. There's one guy, he was a praising and a worship leader here by the name of Mark Newman. You can't believe how God has used that young man. And I'm humbled to say that God can use anybody else. 458 kids. Some of them, they are in high schools. We have to pay school fees. Boarding schools are very expensive. But I tell you what, we have some of them are graduates now. We have some of them are soon becoming doctors. Like we have one young man, the brother of Dennis, is becoming a doctor this coming year. And he's going to be very supportive in our clinic there. And we have many who are engineers now. And we have many in high institutions and high schools. And that is big money. But God, he has all the money. He has all the money. I mean, we don't have any big bank account, but God is God of surprises. If you ask me how God provides, I can't even have enough words to give you the details of how God. You never know whom God is going to use. And you never know. Sometimes where God is going to. There are times when, there was a time when we were buying the food to the in the villages, in those areas. We never knew that these people were so much appreciative of what we are doing. We had three different people. Instead of buying 2 acres, one of them said that you are going to pay half and I'm going to give you another half so that you may feed those kids because I'm grateful for what you're doing. That blew my mind, to give us an acre of sweet potato to feed the kids. And he was not a rich man. I mean, she was just a lady, an elderly lady. And we have other two who have been always providing food. Leave apart the food we are growing on our land and some of the lands you guys helped us to buy. But there are people who really bring food to us. And God provides through that way. There are times whom God sent people from nowhere. Give you an example. There is somebody called Andy Crisfield. He came from somewhere from West Virginia, and he said that he got a dream, that in this dream he was under the cross with so many kids around him, and the voice told him that go and meet those kids. He never knew where Uganda is, and he started to ask. Yeah, he told him to go to Uganda and meet those kids. So he started to ask and to inquire, where is Uganda, where is Uganda, Uganda, until finally, long story short, I saw an email. It said, God told me to come and meet the kids. So I think you see me at the airport holding a name on the paper of someone I don't know, and even himself, he didn't know whom to meet. You can't believe how God used that ordinary man. God used him the way I never expected. We are stewards. And God is looking for faithful stewards. God has everything, but he's looking for those who are not going to take credit, those who are not going to take his glory in what he's doing. I'm here to tell you, my brother and my sister, we are given an opportunity and we are given a chance. I told the brothers in Dallas Church that God recently, when we are burying somebody, I came across the scripture which I used and I preached, and about 30 people got saved on that funeral. And it says that we have to learn to count our days. And somewhere the Bible says, I think Psalms 90, if I'm right, that the days of man is 70 years or 80. Now, when you count your days, you don't count those days you have already done. You just bring the days you have lived and deduct it from 70 or 80. Let us say it is 70. Now I'm 56. I think Pastor Jim is 70 and more. Okay. 70 minus 56, I think there is only 14 years. But because I want to see what God is doing in the lives of my champions, I always tell God that, Lord, at least let it be 80, not 70. But can you imagine 14 years is just a very short time if I'm to live 70. Now, I came up with an idea. Every time I go down on my knees, one of the things I tell God, Help me, Lord, the rest of my days, my time here, to be productive in thy kingdom. Help me to see the goodness of the Lord, because every day, there is something good and there is something bad, because we are still living in this world. But blessed are the people who can see the goodness of the Lord, because in every day there is an opportunity. As a steward, as a servant of God, there is an opportunity to seize. If God opens up your eyes to see it. But because there are so many evils going in around the world, the globe, our eyes can be attracted to the evils of the world. And we stay the rest of our days complaining, murmuring, choosing others, and we fail to see the goodness of the Lord. I remember David one time he prayed and he said, Lord, one thing I ask, let me see your goodness and inquire in your temple. Brothers and sisters, as stewards of God, servants of God, there is a godly opportunity every day, even in the midst of the trials, in the midst of difficult days, in the midst of the dark time, there is an opportunity. Because I learned one thing, that even God can change the bad into good. So we can't give the devil any more time to take the credit or to divert us from what we can do as stewards of God every day. Because we have limited time to live in this world. If it is to do mission, let us do it quickly. If it is to help somebody, let us do it quickly. If it is to pray and intercede for souls, let us do it quickly. If there is anything that God has put on your heart, don't hesitate. Do it quickly. Because we have limited time and chances and opportunities to be good stewards of God. And God is looking for people who are always looking unto him. And they say, Lord, what is next? And don't ask why. No. If Paul and Silas were to ask why they were beaten, thrown in prison, robbed their clothes, complaining that night, the miracle could not have happened. But they knew one secret. What? They praised God in the midst of that dark days. In pain, they gave God the glory. And the opportunity came that God intervened and changed everything for better. And somebody got saved to the expense of their pain. Everything work together for good to those who are called by God and God's purposes. Nothing wrong. I'm here to let you know that the devil is always going to cause problems and trials and darkness and to make sure that you don't be a good steward of what God is expecting from you. It's going to bring fear. It's going to bring doubt. It's going to bring this and that and to distract you from the right thing that God has called you to do or telling you to do. But God is looking for people who can say like Paul, that we are not like those who go behind. We shall press forward. God, winners are not those who never fail, but those who never quit. And when we fail, we have to fall that way, not that way. That's why I have picked the interest of where your American football game. You see, guys, they try their best to fall. ahead. If by bad chance they get hold of him and push him this way, oh, that's not a good thing. That is losing. But if they try to fall, they try to fall, they try to take another step until maybe they get to that point where they can score or kick the ball between those two poles. That's the winner. Winners are not those who never fail, but those who never fail, who never quit. God, when he gave me another chance of becoming a pastor, it's a long story. This is what I told God. Lord, I will never quit up. I will never give up on these people until you tell me. And as soon as I confessed that, problems and trials and things came, and our church, we moved 7 times to 7 different places. And I realized that the purpose of this is for me to quit again. But I had made a commitment to God that I would never quit. Just the same way I made a commitment to God, I will never give up my family. And I will never divorce my wife. Whatever it takes. If it means to repent, I repent to her and to God. If it means to sleep outside looking for the provision of my family, I do it. Because I made a commitment. And I know that God is looking for people who are going to side as stewards, never to give up, but to keep on doing God, keep on doing things God's way, being faithful in the little. And the Bible and the Bible promises that God will entrust you with much. Once you are faithful with the little, that even includes the way we behave, the way we handle even our funds. Someone said one time that if you want to know somebody love God, don't ask your questions. You just ask him to show you his Bible. You're going to see how he has been rereading the Bible and underlying some of the points that touches his heart from Genesis to Revelation. That is number one. Number two, ask him his checkbook. And see how he spends his money. That's where you are going to see his heart, where his heart is. But back to my point as I wind up. Today, I didn't come to say much, but that's what God has put on my heart. Might be you that God is looking for in our time. God is looking for a man. God is not looking for professionals, though being a professional is good. God is not looking for experts. God is looking for people who are going to say, yes, Lord, I make a commitment. Help me to be a good steward in everything that you have entrusted in my hands. Beginning for my own life, my body, I'm not going to misuse this temple, because it is the temple where you dwell by your spirit. I'm going to be committed to my family, providing protection and commitment. I'm going to be a father, because our generation, not only Uganda, but the whole world, we are living in the fatherless country, where the children are crying, saying, where is that person who is going to create an opportunity for me to see my future? There should not be any youth, any man, any girl, any boy go through his or her youth age without a guardian. That is one of the dangerous things. But where are the fathers? We have to make a commitment that I'll be available for my children. As like now, I've taken another mountain of growing up, Jonathan. Junior. I remember the time I signed the papers from the government. I realized that now Jonathan is like me. As I was adopted in the house of God, Jonathan is adopted in my home, in my family. All my daughters, he has the same access of what I have, like my daughters. So I have to commit my life to make sure that I grow him up as a son, as a man of God. And I say, Lord, help me, Lord. And help me, Lord. Stewards of our job. In our church, there is a time when I stopped praying for people for good jobs. Let me tell you why. Because time came that somebody want God to help him get a job, be employed somewhere. Pray for him. And as soon as he gets the job, and you don't see him in the church any longer. Sometimes you hear that he's already backslidden. And I said, Lord, is it bad to pray for people to get a job and be promoted? And I hesitated for some time until God spoke to me. And he said, you have to teach them before you pray for them. Let them know that they are stewards. They are not owning. That's why they are perishing with the provisions. And we started that. I remember Pastor Jim, he talked about marriage. But in our church, no one is supposed to divorce. And for the last 15 years, no divorce. Even more than that, no divorce. We have a class of men. We don't mind so much about the women because most of the problems of divorce and unfunctioning families, 98% are caused by men because they don't know what to do with their wives and their family. So we have a class of 10 months. If anybody wants to get married to our daughter in the church or anywhere else, he has to go through that teaching. He must get the certificate that he knows how to handle the daughter of God. He knows how to take care of the family. He knows how to die for his family. He has to make sure that he's going to be a father, because we are tired of fathers who don't know what to do. And they don't know that they are stewards of God. Brothers, we came with nothing, and we are going with nothing. Everything we are given to be stewards and to participate in what God is doing in our time, because God has put everything in place and everything is there. He's just looking for a faithful steward, faithful servant that is going to take with him this journey of healing the people who are hurting, of reaching the hopeless in this and bring hope and bring healing to the dying world. And I believe it's you and me. He wants us to grow to mature to that stage, because maturity has nothing to do with age. In our country, we say that you can find somebody of 65 years, and we say a young man of 65 years, and you find someone of 20, and you can say that is a man of God. The way he handles his responsibility and becoming a steward of God. God wants us to mature to that stage. I don't know whether my brother, you have, brother, I don't know whether brother David, you have that creep. Ready? There is something small we recorded about the people in Uganda. and the Champions Home, my children, and your children. The reason why I do that, I say that, because we had about 50 kids when you connected with us. Now we have 458. And you have never given any excuse. We have been on the same page. We have been pushing together. You have been coming to Uganda. You have been sending funds. You have been praying for us. You have been our partner and our hero. So I'm here to thank you so much and pray Uganda within the next 20, 15 years will never be the same again. And we shall have disciples all over the country. Let me tell you that. God told us to take this ministry to another level where we are going with languages and tribes because every tribe is a language. And ever since we have civil wars in the country, it is out of tribalism. Now we are putting down the wall of tribalism, of growing these young men together, loving them and loving one another, and teaching them that their father is not a respecter of persons and doesn't discriminate. And as I see how they love one another, I believe that when they grow, somebody will have friends all over the country instead of enemies. They will have somewhere, a contact somewhere in the country. And together, they are going to change our country in the twinkling of an eye.